Okay, Charles, just waiting for the sun to hit the cliffs and we'll be ready for a take.
It had been 8 months since my last sniff of a job. Money was short and tensions between me and Francis were running high. Then one morning out of a clear blue sky, my agent called.
No time to banter, Charles. Switching to flight mode, so listen up. I've got you a commercial with cinema release. You're the rugged face of a new high-end supercar aimed at the silver-haired, thrill-seeking driver with pension plan to cash in and functioning mojo. Two out of three's not bad. Now, I put my kishkas on the line for this, so don't screw up. Excuse me, miss. If you check the manifold, I think you'll find I'm in club class.
And that's how I found myself behind the wheel of a £200,000 sports car on top of Beachy Head.
Okay, Charles, sun's out and helicopter's in place, so we're good to go if you are.
Absolutely.
Just remember to floor the accelerator.
Drive dead ahead for the clifftop, brake on the mark, get out, look across the sea with the wind blowing through my tousled platinum hair.
That's it. Okay, camera up to speed, we're going for a take. Everyone ready?
Yep.
Ready.
And action!
Let's do this thing.
Good, Charles. Good. Now, slow down. Slow down. He's overshot the mark. And cut.
Oh, nice one. Is that a print?
For a second, I thought you were going over the
edge. I knew what I was doing. Are we going again?
I reckon we got it.
They don't call me One Take Paris for nothing.
Did you put the handbrake on?
What?
After which, I was out of work. Again. For 9 months. I skulked around with time on my hands and nothing in my pockets but fluff. My relationship with Francis frequently required UN intervention. But Ban Ki-moon would have had his work cut out this time.
Of noise-cancelling headphones if you don't wear them!
Well, if I wore them, I'd never hear you berating me.
I wouldn't need to berate you.
Your berating me is the only time we talk.
I talk, you just don't listen.
I'm sensing a little hostility.
Surely not.
Passive-aggressive's the lowest form of sarcasm.
There's nothing passive about my aggression.
I promise never to play loud music again.
It's not just the music.
Well, is it the loo seat? I do try to remember, but after years of standing...
It's not the loo seat, Charles.
Okay, right, I'm sort of running out of options.
The music and the loo seat are just the tip of the iceberg.
There's an iceberg?
A massive iceberg.
But I'm guessing not made of ice.
Made of 1,000 daily minor irritants, which once you start to add them together...
Would it help if you gave me a list?
Not really.
What will help?
You and me not being on top of each other all the time.
If only.
And you not making comments like that.
Got it.
I can't believe there's not one job out there.
Believe it. An actor reaches a certain age, the bloom of youth fades... What?
Huh. Breaking news, Dorian. The bloom withered long ago.
Someone slept in the knife drawer.
9 months, Charles.
You don't need to tell me. We could have had a baby in that time.
So very wrong on so many levels. Have you thought about minicabbing?
Me?
Okay, maybe not that.
Definitely not that. If I didn't kill other people, I'd end up killing myself.
Not if I kill you first.
Don't worry. Something will come along.
Ooh! Actors!
Like a sullen teenager, I lurked in my room, drinking scotch and scanning the lonely hearts in the London Review of Books. When I thought the coast was clear, I sneaked downstairs for a guilty pleasure.
Oh, not the pulse of doom. Gabriella is obviously the best singer by a country mile.
You bloody hip.
Oh, are you trying to give me a coronary?
Whenever I watch this, you bang on about lowest common denominator telly and desperate wannabes ritually humiliated by arrogant nobodies.
I stand by my case.
And here you are watching Fame's the Game.
Not watching, observing with forensic detachment like a social anthropologist.
You were watching it like the rest of us plebs.
Ironically.
The way I'm still ironically married to you.
I viewed it through my fingers like a wildlife documentary about the sex life of slugs. Also, I know one of the judges.
Which one?
The Mr. Nice Guy who's there to balance the patronising facelift and the sociopath bully.
How do you know Ned English?
Back in the day, directed me in a production of Loot.
And you copped off with the actress playing the nurse.
I did not cop. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your memory.
When it comes to the lust life of Paris, I could win Mastermind. Now, turn this off and get your jacket.
Oh, have I pulled?
No, we're going out.
Out where?
The theatre.
I don't want to go to the theatre.
You're an actor.
Exactly. The last thing I want is to watch other people doing my job.
Don't worry, these ones are much younger than you.
You're really selling it. What's the show?
Hamlet.
Enjoy yourself.
Charles.
I've seen more Hamlets than I've eaten Danish pastries. The pastries never disappoint and they don't take 4 hours to eat.
You'll enjoy it when you get there.
What are you, my mother? Hamlet over a pub. Really, Francis.
If you don't enjoy the play, you'll like the beer.
And tonight's hidden agenda is?
No agenda. It's the last night.
And?
My ex-pupil, Millie, is playing Ophelia.
Ah.
I said you'd have a chat, give her a bit of advice.
I'll pass on 3 key words. Become a lawyer.
Try to be more positive.
Buy me a double scotch and I'll consider it. I've endured Hamlet so long, I've had time to grow my hair, get it cut, plan my funeral and write my own eulogy. Thankfully, this version put us back in the bar refueling in under 3 hours.
So, not as bad as you feared.
Not at all. She can certainly act, and Hamlet was good, too.
That's the boyfriend.
Regular little Burton and Taylor double act.
Tell them that. They're young and in love.
Oh, thanks for coming, miss.
3 years out of school, you can call me Francis.
Okay.
Millie, this is Charles.
Miss... Oh, sorry. Francis told me so much about her actor husband.
Sounds ominous.
We were both really impressed.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You were knocker.
No.
Seriously, and I didn't even want to come out tonight.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
Kindness has nothing to do with it. You were great.
I was a bit wobbly in the mad scene.
That kind of goes with the territory.
With the right breaks and a lot more confidence, I could imagine Millie in 1,000 Sunday night bonnet dramas.
What a scrum!
Sam, this is my old English teacher, Miss...
Francis.
Francis. And this is Charles.
Sam was the complete Juve lead package. 6'2", floppy blonde hair, and the sort of cherubic features that look great in military uniform, then age rapidly and badly. So what's next for you two?
I'm DSMing a new show.
Already in demand?
Only stage management.
Well, it's all experience. How about you, Sam?
I've just got my first agent.
That first... implied that Sam had put a success timer on this agent. You'd better shape up.
He's supposed to be the agent's agent, but I still feel like I'm taking a bit of a gamble.
Why?
Well, I was offered a good part in a touring production, but my agent says if you want to play leads, stick to your guns, even if it means turning down work.
Makes a change from take the money and run.
I suppose I might as well gamble now before I get bogged down with commitments.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Not you, Millie. Mortgages and stuff.
These days it's rare to hear a young actor even contemplating a mortgage. So Sam definitely had his eyes on the prize.
Wish I was brave enough to turn down work.
It's a tough old game, but going on tonight's performance, I reckon you'll both do all right.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, cheers.
So, who's this Uber agent?
Do you know Maurice Skeller?
Whoa.
Drink anyone?
I thought you'd had a stroke.
Well, what do you expect? Maurice, the agent's agent.
Thanks for not treading on their dreams.
Well, the business will do that soon enough.
Sam's... very driven.
Yeah, I wish I'd had a game plan at his age.
Wish you had a game plan at your age. Anyway, at his age, you were too busy trying to get laid.
Francis.
It's true. If you put half as much effort into getting work as you did into
all
getting...
all play and no work makes Jack skint, but with some very happy memories.
Not to mention Jack's fractured marriage and distant relationship with his daughter.
Go straight for the heart, why don't you?
Yeah, well, it came from the heart.
I don't choose to be out of work. It's a bad climate.
Is that what Maurice tells you?
Maurice doesn't tell me anything these days. Something will turn up.
Ugh. Actors. Think I'm going to bed.
I thought I might have a nightcap.
Why not? Treat yourself.
Hello.
At last. I've left endless messages on your mobile. You're in no position to be off-grid, Charles.
Damn, I forgot to switch it back on.
How much have you drunk?
Actually, I've been at the theatre.
How can you afford the theatre?
It was a fringe show.
Ah.
And Frances paid.
Of course she did.
I've just seen your new client play Hamlet.
Oh, young Sam, a very bright prospect.
He speaks highly of you.
Ah, oh, bless.
Apparently you're the best in the business.
Have you only just realised?
I've realised you ration your advice to the favoured few.
Time was, you were one of them. You showed such early promise.
Yeah, this is all a bit past tense, ageist.
Age has nothing to do with it. Sobriety does, though. Sam's all about the work. It's a new generation. Hangovers are out. Professionalism's in.
Why did you phone?
Phone? Someone wants to meet you, so either he doesn't know your reputation or he was drunk or both.
Who?
Ned English?
I was watching him on Fame's The Game.
I didn't think you'd sully your brain with populist entertainment.
Get on with it, Morris.
He's invited you to lunch tomorrow. One at the Ivy, if you're available. Order nothing flambéed. You'll burn the place down. Ciao!
How's your liver?
What have you heard?
Your food.
Oh, very good. I wonder if they take luncheon vouchers.
Nah, don't worry, lunch is on me. Or more accurately, on Tony Copeland Productions. We've got offices round the corner, so this is the calf.
Nice calf.
I take it you've seen the show?
I've seen your good cop to Copeland's bad cop.
Ah, well, it's a formula that works. I expect you're wondering why I've crept out of the woodwork after all this time.
I don't owe you money, do I?
Oh, same old Charles. You haven't changed a bit.
You have.
Fatter.
Successful.
Well, it's come a bit late, but fame and fortune's wasted on the young. When you get to our age, you really appreciate the good things.
Well, I'll take your word for it. So why are we here?
Well, apart from being the man everyone loves to hate, Tony owns the TV format and he's got more fingers in more pies than Sweeney Todd.
So I hear.
He's the Svengali Supremo Showbiz Impresario.
That's easy for you to say.
Music, telly, shiny floor shows, he's over the lot. But, and this is where I come in, Tony wants to try his hand at straight theatre.
Tax dodge?
There are easier ways to lose money. No, Tony's a genuine populist. He believes in the people. This is his chance to work his magic and sprinkle a little Copeland stardust on high art.
Where do I fit into the equation?
Well, he's asked me to direct a show, a play. Hamlet, in fact.
Must be in the air. I've just seen a Fringe production.
Ah, Tony Copeland's will be on a different scale. We've already signed Katrina Selsey for Ophelia.
I know the name.
I thought you watched the show.
I've seen it.
Katrina was last year's winner. And her first CD's coming out, so she's doing the publicity junket. Graham Norton, Jonathan Ross, you know.
Yeah, it's very much my world. Who have you got for Hamlet?
Well, just between us, Jared Roon is a very definite pencil.
Jared, who controversially left his boy band to pursue a solo career, leaving millions of teenage fans utterly bereft for a full 10 minutes.
Attaboy?
I keep up.
No, the band was called Attaboy.
I knew that.
I knew it thanks to my doctor's well-stocked waiting room and a routine prostate checkup.
Anyway, Katrina and Jared are box office gold. But what I need is a solid cast of reliable pros
to prop the whole thing up.
Act as the glue. Well, you can see where this is going. How do you fancy coming on board?
Not sure I like the sound of being glue.
We're going straight into the West End.
Then again, glue's better than non-speaking corpse in Silent Witness.
If it helps, the B word's already been mooted.
Birmingham Rep.
Broadway.
Broadway, of course. What's the part?
I'd like you to double the ghost of Hamlet's father and the first gravedigger, so two parts.
Will that be two fees?
Don't push it, Charles. So, are you on the bus?
Why not?
Good. Let's drink to it.
That loot we did. Who played the nurse?
A very sexy actress called Kathy Monzie.
Kathy Monzie? Yeah, she was, wasn't she? What happened to her?
She's the mother of my child.
Right. Yeah, well, cheers to her too. Cheers.
Come in.
Breakfast in bed, your ladyship.
What's this in aid of?
Your lady's maid's gone off after young Master Bates, what put her in the family way and on the road to ruin, ma'am.
Or he should have put you up for Downton.
I nagged till I was blue in the blood, ma'am.
What's this?
Omelette Gordon Bennett. Think Omelette Arnold Bennett, but we didn't have smoked haddock and parmesan, so I've substituted tin pilchards and laughing cow.
I'll stick to coffee.
Ah, and there's some post.
It's addressed to you.
Well, you might as well open it.
You've been offered Hamlet?
Well, two small parts in Hamlet, but I said something would turn up.
Well done, Charles.
A little grudging.
The smug smile is quite annoying, but I'm pleased for you. Maybe I won't need to advertise for a lodger.
It is theatre money.
Maybe I will need a lodger.
Hey, it's something, and something's better than nothing.
Some days it's like Wittgenstein's actually living in the house.
Well, I wouldn't know about such things, m'lady. Anything else your ladyship requires? More toast, newspaper, a quick roll in the sack?
I'm going to roll out of bed, and I suggest you have a cold shower.
Certainly, ma'am.
Okay, gather round, everyone. I hope everybody can see, because I am really excited by Amanda's brilliant set design.
By the time I arrived at the rehearsal room, the cast were gathered round a model of the set.
Ah, morning, Charles. Everyone, this is Charles Parris playing the ghost and first gravedigger.
Charles.
All right, as you can see, all the action takes place in and around a giant skull. You all right?
Sorry, bit of a frog. Carry on.
Of course, the immediate impact of the image on the audience is to say Yorick. But we're subverting that because everything's happening inside Hamlet's skull. We'll be using the anatomy of the skull to
Looks to me like someone had a big idea over a long lunch.
There's a whiff of style over content.
I'm Geraldine, by the way, playing Gertrude.
Oh.
As well. Disapproval?
Just surprise. You look young for Hamlet's mum.
That's a terrible schmooze, but I like you already.
With hennaed, pre-Raphaelite hair framing a pale, intelligent face, Geraldine fixed me with piercing green eyes, and I had the feeling she didn't suffer fools gladly.
Okay, everyone, help yourselves to tea and coffee. I'm just going to take a call from our producer and then we'll crack on.
Scarred from the horrors of rehearsal room coffee, I'd already stopped off and fueled up on a weapons-grade double macchiato served by a barista tattooed from shoulder to fingertip.
Charles, remember me?
Millie, of course I remember you. Is this your stage management gig?
This is it.
Ah.
It's good to see a friendly face.
You're a glutton for Hamlet.
Oh, Tony Copeland's version will be on a slightly bigger scale than our little effort.
Bigger's not always better.
Sorry, love.
Millie.
Millie, by any chance, can I get like a double espresso before we start on that? This stuff's like, my brain don't function without a proper hit.
As authentically street as most middle-class white boys, Jared Roon gave Millie the cheeky urchin wink so loved by Attaboy fans.
Well, I suppose I could go
If you're doing a coffee run, get us a skinny latte. This stuff tastes like cack.
Thanks to Tony Copeland, Katrina Selsey had also risen without trace and was already giddy with her newfound 5 minutes of VIP status.
Okay, so one double macchiato.
If Jared's having a double, I'll have a double.
Right. Okay. Charles?
I'm fine, thanks.
Unwittingly cast in the role of gopher to the stars, Millie bustled off to a coffee shop. I made a note to give her a crash course in self-assertiveness in the face of here-today, gone-tomorrow celebrities.
Nice little run of that.
You know, she's actually deputy stage manager, so strictly speaking, it's not her job to do coffee runs.
Someone better tell Katrina, else she'll have her on the hop.
I had to admire Jared's easy deflection and was now wondering if he was going to play Hamlet with the hipster haircut and stupid boy beard.
So, how's it going, bruv?
Yeah, good. You?
Yeah, man, good, good. Bit sort of... Whoa.
Whoa?
Tough night.
Right.
Mate's got a new club.
Right.
Met a couple of girls.
Ah.
Students.
Yeah.
Finnish.
What?
The girls.
Right.
From Finland.
Got it.
Twins. You can see where this is going.
I think I can.
So, what's happening?
Well, I had an Indian takeaway last night, though I've got to say the chicken jalfrezi wasn't up to their usual...
No. What's happening here?
Here?
Now?
I suppose we're going to do a read-through.
What? Like the whole book?
Text, yeah. Unless Ned's got other ideas.
I hope he gets a wriggle on. I've got to get off lunchtime.
Lunchtime? Well, you better talk to Ned.
Yeah, cool. Nice one, bro.
Yeah.
Judging by the row I heard coming out of the office, Jared's request didn't play too well. So it came as a surprise when Ned announced that ASM and understudy Will Portman would be standing in for the afternoon.
Okay, that's it. Thanks very much, everyone. And a special thanks to Will for stepping in.
Yeah.
Well done, Will.
Oh, thanks.
A bit unexpected this early on.
Yeah, well, Jared had a prior engagement.
I'm surprised Ned let him get away with it.
He didn't have much choice.
How do you mean?
Between us, when Ned said no, Jared went off and called Tony Copeland.
Ned's the director.
Yeah, but Tony's the money.
Yeah.
and Gerard's personal manager. Yeah. I haven't been in the business long, but I have learned that when Tony Copeland says jump, you just ask, how high?
Much more of this and you could find yourself playing the lead on opening night.
Wouldn't that be nice? Night, Charles.
Night, night.
Rehearsals moved on at a start-stop pace as Jared and Katrina played power games, flexing their muscles in a daily fame-off.
How come Jared turns up in a limo?
It's not a limo, it's a taxi.
But he gets a Merc and I get a hatchback.
Just depends what they send.
If it's so important, Katrina can have the Merc.
Yeah, like you don't care.
I don't care.
So what, it's just me?
You're the one banging on about it, love. Have the Merc. I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, no, I'll have the hatchback.
Right, that's settled.
But it was only settled temporarily till a creative difference ground everything to a halt.
And everyone leaves the stage except for Hamlet, alone with his thoughts. Hamlet?
What?
Oh, that this too solid flesh?
Yeah, no, I'll skip that bit for now.
What do you mean, skip it?
Yeah, because I can't do the long bits yet. My coach says I'm not ready.
Your coach?
My acting coach. I'm not doing the long bits.
Soliloquies?
Whatever. I'm not doing them till I've nailed it with my coach.
But that's what rehearsals are for.
Yeah, but my coach isn't here.
In here? I'm your coach.
But you're not.
Well, I am your director.
Sorry, mate. No can do. Give Tony a ring. He knows how it works.
I thought Ned was going to have a stroke, but even he couldn't have foreseen what was coming as they approached Ophelia's mad scene.
So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt.
Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark?
How now, Ophelia?
Actually, I've been thinking about this.
Wait, stop the watch. Yes, Katrina?
This song.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, it's just Ophelia's off a trolley, yeah.
It's known as the mad scene, and she's certainly in a state of heightened anxiety.
So when she starts singing, it's all like bollocks, yeah?
Well, I wouldn't say...
But she's away with the fairies, right? Like she's in La La Land.
Well, when we explore the text more, there are themes and images.
Yeah, yeah, but the thing is, she doesn't know what she's on about, yeah?
Well, I suppose we could agree.
So here's the thing, right? As it doesn't really matter what she's banging on about, why doesn't she sing one of my songs?
What?
I'm thinking something from the new album. Because, Tony wants this show to bring in a new audience, and I've got, like, 1.19 million followers on Twitter, so it makes sense, yeah? Together we stand, divided we fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together.
Come on, let's work together. And I've got, like, 1.19 million followers on Twitter, so it makes sense, yeah?
Is she really going to crowbar in her latest single?
Who knows? The way this production's shaping up, I reckon the ghost will say, adieu, Hamlet, mate, you're getting me.
Well, at least when the critics dip their nibs in vitriol, we'll come up smelling of roses.
You think?
We're not stars, but who wants top billing on a show like this? Better to sneak under the wire.
The first gravedigger failed to exhume this production, but at least he could act.
Something like that.
Still, I'm slightly wishing I'd walked away.
I couldn't afford to.
Snap. And I felt beholden to someone who'd put in a good word with Ned.
You've not worked with him before?
No, but his wife Kathy's an old friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she remembers you, by the way.
Oh,
yes. Sends her love. She also warned me about your easy charm.
There's nothing easy about my charm. It's taken years of hard work.
And there it is, shining out of the twinkly blue eyes I've heard so much about.
Teal.
Yeah. Kathy said you'd say that too.
You seem very close.
She's put up with a lot of my whining recently.
You don't seem like a whiner.
I'm not normally, but, relationship split, blah, blah, blah. Bit of a rough time. All very boring.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not your fault, as far as I know.
No.
Joke.
Oh, right.
Sleeping on Kathy and Ned's sofa's been okay, but it's getting a bit awkward now. We're working together.
It's not ideal. Look, I'd have to clear it, but if you're after something a bit more permanent...
Do you know someone?
Let me have a word.
You can't imagine how grateful I'd be.
I was trying not to imagine how Geraldine's gratitude might manifest itself when I broached the subject of lodgers with Frances.
In what way is she not your type? I assume she's got a pulse.
Give me a little credit, Frances.
No one would give you credit with your rating.
Geraldine's looking for a place, you're looking for a lodger. I'm trying to do you both a favour.
And your position in this ménage à trois?
Good Samaritan to her and barely tolerated by you, so no change there.
Bring her over and we'll see how we get on.
Thanks.
But don't think you've got yourself a nice little three-way setup here. Capiche?
Capiche.
Tell us to come round for a cup of tea and we'll take it from there.
But tea had to be postponed due to the sparring between our stars and their endless demands right up to the technical rehearsal.
Oh, that is too solid flesh.
I watched from the wings while Jared mumbled through his first long bit.
Stand by, Q16. Hi, Charles.
How's it going?
I think you can tell.
Millie.
Hang on. Q16, go. Yes, Will.
There's a lot of breakup on the headsets, so the crew are relying on cue lights if they're not hearing you.
Oh, brilliant. Can you go and find out who's not hearing me?
Sure. Excuse me, Charles?
Sorry.
Okay, hold it, Jared. You really are going to have to pitch up. If I can't hear you at the back of the stalls, there's no way they'll hear you in the gods.
Can you give me a head mic?
No mics. Despite Katrina's best efforts, this is not a musical, and you're not playing the O2.
I know, but...
This is Hamlet Unplugged. The Prince of Denmark shares his inner thoughts old school.
Is Hamlet supposed to have a phone in his pocket?
No, he's not. Mm. Oh, here we go again.
What are you doing?
Calling Tony. See what he thinks.
Right, I'm coming through.
Tony, Jared, listen to me.
Oh, mind the pastor, Charles.
Ow, my arm!
What are you doing lurking behind the
I'm
walls?
I'm not lurking. I didn't expect you to...
Oh, my God!
He smashed right through the skull!
The skull in question was the fiberglass stage set, which now had a lighting bar protruding from its temporal bone.
Jared!
What's happened?
I'll get him.
Well, we should lift it.
No, Will, not until the medics get here.
Just get the weight off him. Help me, Charles.
Fortunately, the stage crew stepped in and lifted the set free. Dust and pigeon guano had snowed down from the grid, covering Jared's twisted body.
His phone's still on.
Will handed the mobile to Ned. It was time to switch to his other role as talent show judge and tell Tony Copeland that our Hamlet had just been eliminated from the show.
In episode 1 of A Decent Interval, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Frances by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Geraldine was Amelia Bullmore, Millie, Rebecca Hamilton, Ned, Brian Protheroe, Jared, Leo One, Katrina, Katie Redford, Sam, George Watkins, and Will, Keelan McCarthy. A Decent Interval was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Adams.
Continues next week at the same time here on BBC Radio 4. On Radio 4 FM, with the news coming up shortly, and with the headlines and a shipping forecast coming up over on BBC Radio 4 Longwave.
I'm not used to happiness. It makes me afraid.
Wide Sargasso Sea. Never be afraid. Or if you are, tell no one. A new dramatization of Jean Rhys's prequel to Jane Eyre.
She lay there drinking wine and suddenly I longed to bury my face into her hair as I used to.
Part of Radio 4's celebration of Charlotte Bronte's bicentenary.
She gave me a full glass and I drank it.
On Saturday afternoon at 2:30 on BBC Radio 4.
BBC News at midday. The Supreme Court has ruled that staff bonus schemes operated by two international banks were set up to avoid tax. The business secretary, Sajid Javid, who's spoken out against tax avoidance, was a member of one of the schemes when he worked at Deutsche Bank. Andy Verity was in court.
In 2003, Sajid Javid opted to join a scheme which enabled his bank to pay him his bonus without deducting tax or national insurance. It took advantage of laws designed to encourage employee share ownership. If staff were awarded shares which could be forfeited under certain conditions, those shares would be tax-free. Deutsche Bank set up a Cayman Islands company and awarded hundreds of bankers, including Mr. Javid, shares which would be forfeit if the employee resigned or was dismissed for misconduct within 6 weeks. In a unanimous verdict, the Supreme Court ruled that that condition lay within the control of the employee and was inserted with the sole purpose of avoiding tax. It made a similar ruling against the Swiss banking giant UBS. Both banks will now have to repay millions in illegally avoided tax.
The Conservative MP David Burrows, who's leading a backbench rebellion against plans to relax the Sunday trading laws in England and Wales, has said a compromise is being discussed with ministers. The Scottish Nationalists have also decided to oppose the measures. Macedonia says it will no longer let any migrants through its border with Greece, in effect blocking the so-called Balkan route. The decision means that almost 10,000 people who've been waiting to cross from Greece into Macedonia won't be allowed through. Here's our Balkans correspondent, Guy Delaunay.
Hundreds of thousands of people have travelled through Macedonia over the past year on their way to asylum in the European Union. But restrictions have been mounting for months, and now the entry point to the so-called Balkan route is officially closed. Macedonia's move was a reaction to decisions in countries to the north. First, Slovenia announced it was barring access to people hoping to seek asylum elsewhere in the European Union. Then Croatia and Serbia declared they would close their borders. It leaves thousands of people in limbo. They could seek asylum where they are or take their chances with people smugglers.
Tax receipts per head of population in Scotland have fallen below the UK average for the first time in decades because of the sharp fall in oil prices. The figures also show that for the third year in a row, Scotland's deficit was higher than the deficit for the UK as a whole. Colin Blaine reports.
These official figures show the impact on Scotland's economy of the sharp decline in the North Sea oil sector. Oil revenues are down 55% in the latest calculation of expenditure and revenues for Scotland. The statistics also show that for the first time in decades, Scottish tax receipts per head of population were slightly lower than the UK average. The Scottish Government say Scotland's economy is strong, but their opponents insist the figures show the damaging impact leaving the UK would have had on Scotland's finances.
Junior doctors in England have begun a 48-hour strike, their third in their dispute over a new contract. Thousands of operations have been postponed, though emergency care is not affected. Sir Paul McCartney has paid tribute to the Beatles producer Sir George Martin, who died at the age of 90. He said his friend had been like a second father to him and had earned the accolade of the fifth Beatle. Sir George produced nearly all of the group's 30 hit singles, but in an interview with BBC Radio London in 2012, he recalled being underwhelmed when he auditioned them in 1962.
I thought their music was not very good. I thought their songs were pretty amateurish. I was on the point of turning them down. Except that I